so the children enjoy having me teach their class in the summer as well. But so I'm going to be asking some of you men that are here if you wouldn't mind giving a little message on Wednesday nights while during the summer weeks. And I think every man ought to be able to give a message from time to time. So heads up, I'll be asking you. You might want to be praying about maybe, you know, sharing something with the church. Maybe, you know, surely God's got to have given you something out of this word in the last, I don't know how long, you know, however long, that's been a blessing to you. And normally, if something is a blessing to you, it'll be a blessing to somebody else. Ladies, you can't preach, so you're off the hook, okay? At least, hopefully it'll stay that way. But, and you never know what goes on in this world today. Let me just give a little bit of review before we read 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 20 verses or so. We're going to continue on a series that we've been doing on the names of God. For me personally, it has been a blessing. I wish I could remember all of these when I'm done, but I know I won't be able to. But I do know that when I go to the Lord in prayer and I use primarily Thursdays as a day of thanks, because it's Thursday and Thanksgiving is on Thursday, so that's how I came up with it. It works for me, all right? You do what you want to do, but that works for me. Because these things have really helped me in my prayer life to be thankful for God for who He is. So let me review Jehovah. We have been doing the Jehovah names. We started with the El names. Now we're doing the Jehovah names. Jehovah is the I Am. Jehovah Jireh was the Lord that will provide. And despite the fact, guys, that, you know, they're stopping dinners on Wednesday evening here, the Lord will provide. Remember Jehovah Jireh, all right? Then we looked at Jehovah Mekeskerem, the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner and He gives victory. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. We looked at that last week from Psalm 23. And Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, the Lord is my companion. Tonight I want to look at two more Jehovah names that are a blessing. One is Jehovah Sabaoth. It means the Lord of hosts or the Lord of armies. And the application will be this. God always fulfills His promises, even when His people fail. You can laugh if you want to. I heard that. Even if His people fail, God still fulfills His promises. Now, why is that? Because when God makes a... Let me help you with something. There are two kinds of promises in the Bible. Conditional and unconditional. And when God makes an unconditional promise or an unconditional covenant, it is not has to do with anything that you and I do. That the emphasis there is on God. But there are most of the promises in the Bible are conditional promises. Nonetheless, when God makes His promises, He fulfills them. Sometimes Jehovah Sabaoth is translated Almighty or the Lord Almighty. Now, throughout Scripture, this is how you see the name used. God's people would call on Jehovah Sabaoth in times of despair. So look with me, if you would please, in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We recently taught a Sunday school lesson on this, on the subject of insensitivity, because it's something that men struggle with. I'll point out a key verse on that, but I won't say much about that tonight. Now, there was a certain man of Ramath Azophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and an Ephratite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of a city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, they were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? This is his insensitivity. It comes out right here. Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? You know, that probably wasn't the best thing he could have said at that particular moment. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. She vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken unto the Lord, spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. Now Hannah desperately wanted a son. She wanted a son. I mean, hopefully you saw that. But if you'll notice in verse 10, it says that she was in bitterness of soul. And when she was in bitterness of soul, the Bible said, and she prayed unto the Lord, and she wept. I mean, she was burdened. And she's crying out to God, Jehovah Sabaoth. You'll also notice in verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, that's the Lord of hosts, that is Jehovah Sabaoth, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, she saw herself as afflicted, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. That is a reference to the Nazarite vow, of course. Verse 15, Hannah answered and said, No, my lord. Now she's talking to Eli. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I mean, she was really hurt. Now her adversary, that was her husband's other wife, that wasn't the smartest thing he ever did either, but nonetheless, verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her. So now she's got Elkanah's other wife provoking her, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 7, and so he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And if you read down through here, you find that he had two wives. Hannah had no children. Verse 3 and verse 11 refer to the Lord of hosts. Verse 11 says she cries out to the Lord of hosts for help. Now we would say that Hannah was emotionally hurting. She has an adversary. And the adversary is like putting a fire out with gas. Now we have an adversary too. That's Satan. That's the devil. And our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the devil would love to devour me, and the devil would love to devour you. And by the way, the devil has a plan and a will for your life. The thief cometh not but for to what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy, John 10:10. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. But Satan is your adversary, and he's always out to get you. So she's hurting, and she cries out to God in her despair. There's another situation where this name is used. Turn to chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. This, of course, is the account of David and Goliath. I won't read the whole story, you can, but I'll pick up reading in verse 41. And again, it's Jehovah Sabaoth. The Philistine came, 1 Samuel 17:41, on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcasses to the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now this is this wonderful account. You'll notice verse 45 and 46 there. David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. David learned some things. David learned in verse 47, the end of the verse, the battle is the Lord's. The battle's the Lord's. There are times when things are so overwhelming that we find ourselves in complete despair. Hannah was in a time of despair, and she cries out to Jehovah Sabaoth. And there are times in my life, and there's times in your life probably, if you haven't had any, you probably will sooner or later, where you cry out to God in a time of despair. It might be financial, it might be emotional, it might be spiritual, it might be a physical hardship, but it'll be something. And if we approach God with a righteous heart, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth to it, and are safe, or is safe. He will deliver us from the midst of our troubles, just like he did Hannah, and just like he did David, but the righteous run to it. God doesn't watch out necessarily for everybody whose life is living just like the devil. Now, the biggest people's biggest problem in this area is this. They don't approach a God with a righteous heart. In fact, when they're in a time of despair, sometimes they actually get mad at God. Or they even blame God. Why is this happening to me, God? Jehovah Sabaoth is the God that we cry out to in times of despair. David learned something. He learned that the battle is the Lord's, regardless what the battle is. Now, I can tell you this as a pastor, I count on that a lot. Sometimes I'm praying and I say, Lord, you have a problem right here. And I really don't know how to fix it. You know how to fix it. So I think it'd be wonderful if he would just fix it. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's about it. I don't know what to do all the time, but not every battle is my battle. The battle is the Lord's. And I have used that in prayer on more than one time. So when you are in a time of despair in your life, whatever it is, you remember Jehovah Sabaoth, and he will fight for you. The next name that I want us to consider tonight, and turn to Numbers chapter 6, is Jehovah Shalom. These names of God really are something, and I don't know that you just pick up on them so easily. Number 6, when you get there. So Jehovah Shalom means the Lord of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the what? The Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And God defeats our enemies to bring us peace. Now, in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22, this is about Gideon. And the Lord spake unto... I don't know why I said Numbers. It's supposed to be Judges. Judges chapter 6. I'll give you a minute to get there. It's not very far away. Judges 6. Boy, that water's good. Verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, but because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou hath cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of the servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Now this was the name, Jehovah Shalom, that was given to the altar that Gideon had built to be a memorial for God. Now listen, it means the God of peace. You will never know peace until you know the Prince of Peace. You'll never really know it. Now in Galatians chapter 5, but I don't want you to turn there, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13. In Galatians chapter 5, we are told about the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, the first one. The second one is joy. And the third one is peace. Well, we know that the God is a God of peace. But peace is also a fruit of the Spirit. Now, what does peace mean? It means to be safe from emotional harm in spirit, mind, and body. In other words, when you have peace, you accept things into your life as allowed by God or as allowed from God. Now, have you ever talked to a believer who has said something like, I should not have to go through this? I don't like those kind of statements, I'll be honest. But even when you're going through particular circumstances in your life, whatever the circumstances are, you can still have peace, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. So you accept things into your life as allowed by God, or maybe even from God. And when I yield to that, I get peace when I face adversity and when I face persecution. Now I ask you to turn to Acts chapter 13, because Paul faced persecution, yet he always had peace. The persecution that he faced came in different forms. Notice in Acts chapter 13, verses 44 and 45. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Okay, what kind of persecution did Paul get there? Verbal. That was verbal persecution. If you go to the next chapter, verse 1, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, in part with the apostles. And there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. They were aware of it, and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region that lied round about. And there they preached the gospel. So now, these guys are getting more persecution. A little bit different here. Go on down to verse 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. So the first one was verbal, thank you. And this one is what? They were going to stone him. So what would you call that? That's physical. Okay, that's persecution. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came unto the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. So here comes all this persecution. It comes in the forms of verbal. It comes through the physical realm as well. And then Paul writes in Philippians 4:7, And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So while he's being verbally abused, he has peace. While he's being physically abused, he has peace. How can Paul do that? Because he knows Jehovah Shalom. He knows him. He has a deep, intimate relationship with him. Look at 2 Timothy. And so, "Well, you're a preacher, you just don't know what I go through." Well, you're probably right. But I'll bet you don't go through a whole lot of things worse than the Apostle Paul did. And I'll bet you, I take that. I'm not a betting man, but I take that bet. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Well, let me go back to verse 10. Paul said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions." These were some of those persecutions. "Afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured." We just read about some of those in Acts 13 and 14. "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yet, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That does not exclude me. That does not exclude you. All that will live godly will suffer persecution. All of us. It might be verbal. It might be physical. I don't like either one, personally. But it might happen. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Because you're going to have people that keep getting worse and worse. And then he said, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So Paul says to Timothy, you may get persecuted. In fact, if you live godly, you will get persecuted. But don't worry about it. God will deliver you. God will be with you. You can have peace. Often, we do not yield to peace. Instead of peace, you know what we'd rather have? I don't know if we'd rather have it or not, but we just embrace it. Worry. Have you ever met somebody that you might refer to as a worry wart? They worry about this, and they worry about that, and they worry about the other thing. Do you know what good worry does? None. Worry doesn't solve one problem, doesn't fix one problem. It doesn't do anybody any good. Look at, was it Philippians 4, 6 maybe? Where Paul said, "Be careful for nothing." Yeah, that's it. Philippians 4, 6. "Be careful for nothing." That means don't worry about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So what do? Well, when you're in despair, you don't worry about it. You cry out to Jehovah Sabaoth. And then you trust and get the peace from Jehovah Shalom. Worry is to live in fear of harm in spirit, mind, and body. I got to close. But Romans 8:28 still says something like, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Still says that. And because it still says that, and I guess this is what happens, do you really believe it? And do I really believe it? Because no matter what happens in our life, if we really believe it, we have peace. As we yield to the fruit of the Spirit, peace, and as we reject worry, some people really have a hard time rejecting worry. My mom, she worried about everything. She worried so much. She had 10 of us. She had a lot of kids to worry about, okay? And we didn't help the cause any either. But she got so bad she had to take medication for her stomach because her stomach was always flipping or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what to call it. She was a worry wart. Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the Lord of hosts. He fulfills his promises, and he fights for us, and thank God he does. The Bible says in Romans 9:29, "For as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah." Thank God that he fights for us. We cry out to him in time of despair. And thank God for Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord of peace, and he brings peace to us. Father, as we learn you and learn about you more and more through these names of God, we thank you that you are our Jehovah Sabaoth. And quite honestly, the battle is the Lord's. And we thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom. you bring peace. In fact, we never know peace till we are introduced to the Prince of Peace. So I pray that people will grasp these precious, precious truths and incorporate them into their lives and learn to thank you and appreciate you more and more and more for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me just share a couple of missionary letters with you tonight.